the Supreme Court of the United States of America. And written across the front of that beautiful, majestic building, the words, equal justice under law. That's why our founding fathers came to these shores, the Pilgrims, the Puritans, seeking liberty, equality, freedom, particularly religious freedom. 2 weeks ago, I shared with you some of the personal attacks that are being made against this ministry, against Jerry Falwell, the atheists, the pornographers, the secular humanists. Last week, in a more general way, we showed you the battle that's being fought in this country for religious freedom. There is an anti-Christian movement, a concerted, orchestrated anti-Christian movement to throw manger scenes out of city halls, to get prayer completely out of public life, to expel God from our shores as far as public life is concerned, a battle that we must win. Today, during these 60 minutes, I'm going to talk with you about some things you probably haven't heard before and show you some things you may not have seen before. I want you to get mad today. Not at persons, but outraged by the efforts that are being made to make this a secular nation, like the Soviet Union, like Red China. And today I want us to say some things that will help us 3 weeks from now as we launch into 1984, 2-3 weeks from now, to begin rebuilding this nation in the year of destiny, 1984, bringing this nation back to God. And I'll be talking about the Old Time Gospel Hour Survival Fund and how that you can help us to be a part of saving America, preserving liberty and freedom for our children and children's children. This is going to be a very serious 60 minutes. We're going to leave Washington, D.C. now and go to Lynchburg, Virginia.
And now, a special presentation of the Old Time Gospel Hour with Dr. Jerry Falwell.
This is the empty sanctuary of the Thomas Road Baptist Church. I had the privilege of 27 years ago with 35 charter members starting this congregation. We have about 21,000 members now. It's been a miracle. But we are a young church, as churches go. America is a young nation, as nations go. 207 years old. My, how God has blessed our church and how God has blessed America. There are hundreds of churches, thousands of them, just like this one, all over America, that believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God, preach the deity of Jesus Christ, his sinless life, his vicarious and substitutionary death for all men, his bodily resurrection, his imminent return, and who are inviting men to come to the Savior and be born again. That's what a church is all about. That is why the Pilgrims and the Puritans came here. They came here to establish one nation under God. The founding fathers, as I will a little later in the program clearly prove and substantiate, felt that they were building a nation on the principles of the Old Testament and the New Testament. We call it the Judeo-Christian ethic. And so America was born. And here, two centuries later, there are those forces at work in our country that would destroy everything the founding fathers had in mind. I know that little handful that helped me start this church, and many of them are still alive, believed that they were establishing a church built upon the Word of God, built upon truth, built upon biblical principles. They'd rather see this church burn to the ground than ever become a liberal, dead, formalistic church, having departed from the ways and the Word of God. And yet the founding fathers, if they knew what was happening in our land today, throwing God out of public life, removing manger scenes from city halls, our children no longer able to pray in a public school in this country, and all across America, anti-Christian influence almost secularizing this nation, they turn over in their graves. What is the Old Time Gospel all about? We fill this auditorium about five times every Sunday. It seats about 4,000 people. And I have the privilege of preaching the Word of God to them. And through television and radio, we take what happens inside this mammoth sanctuary to millions of hearts and homes. I preach a message first of regeneration. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I preach the message of the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But I preach more than the gospel. Thousands of pastors in this country preach the gospel, but they preach more than the gospel. We preach a message of biblical righteousness, that the family is the chief cornerstone in any civilized nation built upon the Judeo-Christian tradition. We teach that young people should be in submission to their parents. We teach against moral permissiveness, against the drug traffic, against abortion, the murder of unborn babies. 13 million little babies have died in this country since the Supreme Court legalized abortion on demand back in 1973. We preach against the moral cancers that are today about to submerge and destroy America. Next Sunday is Christmas. Christmas Day falls on Sunday this year, just a week from right now. And the next Sunday is New Year's Day, 1984. I believe God has given me a message to preach to America in 1984. It is a message of revival, a message of repentance. I believe America can be brought back to God. I believe we can recover. I don't think the show is over. I don't think it's too late. I don't believe the merchants of doom who tell us that we're going to blow the world up in a nuclear holocaust. A network recently aired a program in which they portrayed what's going to happen when finally the buttons are pushed and the bombs are dropped in America and Russia and the world is destroyed, annihilated. I don't believe that's going to happen. I believe God has a better purpose. I do believe that God rules in the affairs of men. I believe in human responsibility. I support my president and his peace through strength initiatives. I'm an American, a red, white, and blue American, by all means. But I also believe there's a God in heaven and that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And as the rivers of water, he, God, turns that heart whithersoever he will. I believe that Yuri Andropov can only go as far as God Almighty will allow him to go. I believe that Fidel Castro can do only as much as God will allow him to do. We look at those hundreds of Marines who died in Beirut. Sadden my heart. We look at what our president had to do in Grenada. And we applaud him for it. But we see this Soviet-Cuban expansionism now in Central America and South America and all over the world. Freedom, liberty, diminishing with every passing day. Is America going down the tube? I personally believe that if enough preachers in this land will stand up and preach the Word of God and glorify Christ and preach Bible repentance, we can have a third great awakening. We had one just before the war, the Revolutionary War that won our independence from Great Britain. It was called the Great Awakening. Great preachers like Jonathan Edwards, George Whitefield, the Wesleys, Brainerd, so many, were used of God to bring this nation to revival. We had another one, a second great awakening, just before the war between the states. It was a prayer meeting revival. It began with Christian businessmen having a prayer time at lunchtime in New York City. And those two or three soon became 2,000 or 3,000, spontaneously. No prominent preachers involved except Dwight L. Moody. And then that spread across America, and one historian recorded there was a chain of prayer meetings from New York to Denver. My, how God blessed. We haven't had a great awakening since then. I mean a real national spiritual awakening. I think that we're on the threshold of it now. 2 weeks from today, January 1, 1984, we enter what I have called the year of destiny for America. But I'm standing here today in this empty auditorium of Thomas Road Church to tell you that the Old Time Gospel Hour and the Liberty Baptist College and Schools and Jerry Falwell are very near to being silenced. We want to be a part of bringing this nation back to God. In 1984, 2 weeks from now, we want to be involved in turning this nation back to God and being a catalyst for world evangelization. 2 weeks ago, I told you of the personal attacks that have been launched against me. I'll repeat some of those a little bit later in the program. I'll show you some things that will shock you. Last week, I told you of the anti-Christian campaign that's in progress here in America. And I told you how serious it is. And getting more serious all the time. But I want to tell you that I believe America can be turned around. Not long ago, I had our people here with my help to produce a program we entitled America, You're Too Young to Die. And I said then, and I repeat now, I believe if God allows us in 1984 and these years ahead through television and radio and through Liberty Baptist College and Schools training young champions for Christ, we can be a part of turning this country around. We must not be silenced. We must not be silenced. Now, I'll tell you how you can be a part of a third great awakening in America. How you can join the Old Time Gospel Hour Survival Fund. I'll tell you all about that in a few moments. But right now, I want to take you back just a little while to that film I told you about. that I carried with me all over America, along with the Liberty Baptist College Singers. We called the program America, You're Too Young to Die. And we appeared in coliseums and city auditoriums and stadiums everywhere. Thousands came, thousands heard. We went to the churches by the hundreds. The message hasn't changed. America is a very young nation, but it's too young to die. And we can have revival in America if we're willing to pay the price. We can come back to God. Right now, we're going to roll a piece of film to take you back 2 years ago when I was traveling the country with this program, America, You're Too Young to Die. I want you to catch the burden and the vision that I was trying to share then and now with the American people.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Fourscore and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. This is America. This is an incredible country. Have you ever wondered why America is so great? Why is America great? Well, many years ago, a famous French philosopher visited America. Alexis de Tocqueville came here when this nation was very young in order to find the secret of our greatness. He traveled from town to town, talking with people and asking questions. He examined our new form of government, our schools, and our business centers, but could not find in them the reason for our success. Not until he visited our churches and witnessed the pulpits of this land aflame with righteousness did he find the secret of our greatness. When he returned to France, he summed up his findings this way. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. You see, the principles of God's word guided the decisions on which this nation built its foundation. Throughout our history, our forefathers have given eloquent testimony to that fact.
It is the duty of nations, as well as of men, to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord.
In our government buildings, the Ten Commandments hang over the head of the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. In the House and Senate chambers appear the words, "In God we trust." In the rotunda is the figure of the crucified Christ. On the walls of the Capitol Dome, these words appear, "The New Testament, according to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." On the Great Seal of the United States is inscribed the phrase, "Annuit Coeptus," which means God has smiled on our undertaking. Under the seal is the phrase from Lincoln's immortal Gettysburg Address, "This nation under God." These aren't just signs hung upon the walls. These convictions are a part of the walls themselves. It's not the buildings, memorials, or monuments that make the words great, but rather the words that make the buildings what they are to every American. God has showered upon our nation 200 years of blessings. In that short time, God has elevated America from infancy to a place of world leadership. With grateful, humble hearts, we honored the God who made it all possible. But then one day, in the midst of all these blessings, slowly, almost imperceptibly, we Americans began to see things differently. We began to think we were great, Wallowing in our egotism and humanism and materialism and selfishness, we made another discovery. We discovered that we really don't need God after all. After pushing God out of our conscience, we discovered that we could get away with anything. We took the absolute standards of a holy God and rationalized them into a code of ethics which varies according to personal whim. God said, "Thou shalt not kill." We gave murder a new name. Abortion kills millions of babies each year. In fact, we gave a lot of things new names. What God calls drunkenness, we call alcoholism, a social disease. What God calls sodomy or homosexuality, we call gay rights or an alternate lifestyle. What God calls perversion, we call pornography or adult entertainment. What God calls immorality, we call the new morality. What God calls cheating, we call abnormal social development. But God still calls sin by its right name. We are still held accountable for our actions. America once legislated against those things which God tells us are wrong, but recently we've witnessed the erosion of those absolute standards. According to God, the standards will always remain the same. If America is in trouble now, it's because we've disregarded those moral absolutes as a nation.
The United States of America, the land of the free, the home of the brave. Born July 4, 1776, died, well, that's up to you and me. America is too young to die. But I submit to you that America is very near spiritual death. A nation that's murdered 13 million little babies since the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision, 1973. God must be angry with us. Matthew 18:6, he said, "It's better to have a millstone about your neck and be cast into the sea than to offend one of his little ones." I look at the drug epidemic in this country. I look at the pornographic explosion, the homosexual revolution. Did you know little children cannot pray in a public school in America today? I mean, right now, it's no better than it was last year. Not one little child can legally pray in a public school in America today. And here we are, a week before Christmas, and the fight is raging to throw manger scenes and nativity scenes out of city halls and off public property. The anti-Christian movement rages. I want to do something about it. I want in my heart to turn this nation around. And yet, I must tell you the truth, as I did the past 2 weeks. We were forced just days ago to borrow $3 million, to spread it around to TV and radio stations and other creditors so that we could stay alive till the first of the year. And we still have TV and radio stations with whom we're very delinquent. And very frankly, I cannot go into 1984 unless we're current. Cannot go into the new year unless we pay off that note. We've got to pay off that note right away. We've got to get our TV and radio current. We've got to have a miracle because we want to turn this country around. I'm asking you right now, will you help me? I mean, I don't know how to say it any more emphatically than that. I need your help. And if you believe in what we teach and preach here and what happens inside the walls of this sanctuary every Lord's Day and what's happening on the old-time gospel hour television radio ministry, if you believe in what's going on Liberty Mountain, those 4,200 acres, the campus of our college and seminary and institute where we're training 6,000 young people to be champions for Christ, if you believe in our world missions ministry in 65 nations and our ministry to fallen girls and delinquent boys and alcoholic men, if you want to help me, if you believe in what we're trying to do, right now, would you do something big, a birthday gift to the Lord, maybe? We've just established the Old Time Gospel Hour Survival Fund for this month, the month of December. This is the third week I've heart-to-heart asked you to help me. Please write me, Jerry Falwell, Lynchburg, Virginia, and say, "Jerry, here's my check." If you can make it a $1,000 gift, do so, or $5,000, or $10,000, or $100, or $50. I don't know what you can do. But make it the most generous gift possible. We've got 2 weeks in which we must pay off a $3 million note and our TV and radio stations to enter the new year with a clean slate. It's impossible. Humanly speaking, what I'm asking you to help me do cannot be done. But there are enough of you out there right now watching me. If you really care, you could help in the survival fund by writing to me and Make your tax-deductible check payable to the old-time gospel hour. Make it as generous a gift as you can. In these next 2 weeks, the story will be told. By the way, time is so short. Would you do this? Time is so short. Not only would you write this address down and mail me the largest gift possible, but would you call me on the toll-free number? 1-800-446-5000. And tell me today, right now, I've got some Liberty Baptist College students and some of our staff members standing by the phones. We pay for the phone call. Just pick it up and tell one of my students how much you're going to be sending. They'll write your name and address down. They'll pass it on to me. And they'll tell me that you've got a $50 gift on the way, a $1,000 gift on the way, a $100 gift on the way. Whatever you can do, please call the toll-free number right now and tell them what you're going to send me. And please, if you can get it here by next Sunday, Christmas Day, or the next Sunday, New Year's Day, please do it. It is a matter of survival. I need your help. I need that phone call. I gave you the address. I'll put that back on the screen right now, along with my telephone number. They're both up there. I want you to write the address down, and then I want you to call me and tell me what you're sending. 1-800-446-5000. Call me now and tell me I'm pledging this amount. I'll get it before the day is out. I'll certainly have it within 24 hours. What you say on that telephone to my staff member or student. And then put the 20-cent stamp on the envelope and mail your gift to Old Time Gospel Hour Survival Fund immediately. Let's turn this nation around together. Let's you and I as partners do it together. What do I propose to do in 1984? Well, I propose to continue doing all that we have been doing and more. For example, this Old Time Gospel Hour television radio ministry. Are you aware that we have thousands of people who confess faith in Jesus Christ every month, who write us, call us because of this TV radio program? We want to continue that. I just cut 35 stations, laid off 200 workers because of the deficit under which we're operating. We must get those stations back on the air. I'd plan to cut 35 more. Then the attacks began from the pornographers and others, and I determined, no, we mustn't cut another station. So we want to continue on television. We want to continue on radio. And then I want to continue traveling. I'm traveling about 6,000 miles a week, many weeks, almost all those weeks, speaking between 20 and 25 times a week, back and forth across the nation. I'm speaking in universities on a regular basis, Harvard, Yale, Dartmouth, Princeton, so many schools. And we're taking one or two schools a week now. We're planning for a very heavy springtime this next year. Talking to the college young people, I want to tell you, we are reaching their hearts. God's helping us to win them over, and good things are happening on the campuses, but I must continue that. And then I suppose I have at least 5 press conferences a week, press conferences and or interviews every week. And then talk shows and debates and various kinds of programs. This is a way without any financial cost to us, except the price of getting there and hard work day and night, of talking to the nation in all kinds of interview situations. I want to continue that. In addition to that, I want our Save a Baby ministry to continue. About 1,500 little girls have come here pregnant, unwanted pregnancies, children to be born out of wedlock. We talk them out of abortions if we can. And we don't allow any abortions in our ministry, of course. And we try to talk them into adopting the child into a Christian family, or if they want the child to go home with them, that's their business, of course. But we lead those little mothers to Christ. We had a 10-year-old girl here in our institution recently, a 10-year-old girl pregnant. This world is cockeyed. It's gone crazy. And yet somebody's got to reach out in love and help these people and avert these abortions and get these children and their mothers into Christian families. It can be done. We must continue it. The Family Center, our ministry to the poor. Over 1,000 families depend on our Family Center for free groceries and free clothing and professional help from our carpenters and electricians and doctors and dentists and lawyers. Over 7,000 little children attended our youth camp, our children's camp this past summer. We call it Treasure Island. Many of them were underprivileged. And they came. They don't have to have money. They come and they're given the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want that to continue. We have a ministry to alcoholic men. It's called the Elam Home. And this institution for 23 years has been inviting men to come free for 60 days of counseling and therapy and vocational training. And over half of them never touch a drop of liquor again. That's quite a percentage. And we give the gospel of Christ the credit for that. I could go on talking about every ministry we have, ministering to the poor and to refugees in 65 nations and supporting missionaries out there who are sharing the gospel. And right here, inside this church building. This is the hub, the nucleus of everything we're doing, the local church ministry. Well, you say your little town of Lynchburg, Virginia, is so insignificant as far as the whole world is concerned. That's true. But because of Liberty Baptist College, 6,000 students in our four schools, that 4,200-acre called Liberty Mountain, our campus site, because of the kids who are coming here to the fastest-growing college in the world, we're training them to go out, many other, and plant, begin new churches like Thomas Road. We have 650 of our Liberty graduates out there right now pastoring churches. A large percentage of them, like Jerry Falwell, started their own church. And we have a goal to start 5,000 new churches in North America by the turn of this century, just 16 years from right now. And that, my friend, with a Christian school in every church, that's the hope of turning this nation around. We mustn't be silenced. We mustn't be turned back. There's so much more I could talk about. 4 years ago, as a private citizen, I started the Moral Majority to combat abortion, pornography, the homosexual explosion in this country, and the acceptance of homosexuality as an alternate lifestyle, support for the State of Israel, religious freedom and liberty in this country. I started it so that I, as a private citizen, could render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, while as a Christian, as a minister of the gospel, to render unto God that which is God's. That's been a very bombastic outreach for Jerry Falwell, because Moral Majority has been under vicious attack from the day we started. But we have 6.5 million activists now working with us in Moral Majority to bring this nation back to those principles and precepts on which she was founded, to keep her free, and to legislate and to lobby. I repeat, I do this as a private citizen. Moral Majority is not connected with this ministry, but it takes my time and my effort. And if this home base here is curtailed financially, if we cannot, through our survival fund, raise the monies to clear the deck by January 1, 2 weeks from today, I'm going to be greatly limited in 1984 as to what I can do in Moral Majority and this ministry to help turn this nation around. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying I need your help. I need for you to be a part of a miracle, a two-week miracle. Next Sunday is Christmas. The following Sunday is New Year's Day. I want you to give to the Old Time Gospel Hour Survival Fund the largest, most sacrificial gift you can. Help us pay off the $3 million note. We had to make the note. We tried to hold on. Had to make it. We had to pay some things or else we'd be in trouble. And that wasn't enough. We have many TV and radio stations with whom we're behind. They need their money. These are our friends. I've been on the air 27 years. They know we're not going to gyp them out of anything. But it isn't right for us to be behind, and we cannot go into the new year behind. Write me, Jerry Falwell, Lynchburg, Virginia, and say, Jerry, here is my gift to the Old Time Gospel Hour Survival Fund, a tax-deductible gift. Make it as generous as you can. And because we need it so urgently, I mean, we've got to have it the next 13, 14 days. We've got to have it in hand. I want you to pick up the phone first and dial me on our toll-free number. We pay for the call and say, Jerry, here's what I'm sending. Here's what I'm pledging. This is a birthday gift to my Lord Jesus Christ, whose birthday we honor and celebrate next Sunday. Make it as large a gift as you can. $1,000 if you could. Maybe it's $10. I don't know what you can do, but God knows. Do what you can. Jerry Falwell, Lynchburg, Virginia. If you live in Canada, we need your help there, and I believe the U.S. and Canada stand or fall together. We're North America. Freedom is precious. And I wish you'd write to me in Canada, Box 505, Richmond Hill, Ontario. Do what you can to help me turn this nation around so that I'll not be silenced. In a few moments, I'll tell you who's trying to silence us. But before that, right now, write this address down. Jerry Falwell, Lynchburg, Virginia. Or in Canada, Box 505, Richmond Hill, Ontario. Make your check payable to Old Time Gospel Hour. It's tax deductible. And then dial me on this toll-free number, 1-800-446-5000. I mean, right now, and tell one of my Liberty Baptist students who will tell me what you've said, how much you're going to be sending, so we can know what to count. Within 24 hours of this moment, that person who answers your call will tell me what you've said. So please call right now, the toll-free number, and let me know what I can count on you doing for the Old Time Gospel Hour Survival Fund. You know, you may wonder sometimes, Jerry, when you're speaking on university campuses, what do you talk about? Well, lots of things. I talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. I talk about moral issues. I talk about biblical standards of righteousness. And I always, as I did at Yale, try to tell them what fundamental Christianity is all about. Fundamentalists have been those persons who have believed five things. Number one, the inerrancy of Scripture. There is in America a group of some many millions of Americans who believe the Bible is the Word of God.
And I am one of them, and so I pass on the first criterion of what a fundamentalist is, and that is a Bible-believing Christian. Secondly, a fundamentalist believes in the deity of Jesus Christ, which includes his virgin birth and sinless life, of course. Being God, that would be obvious. Thirdly, fundamentalists believe in the vicarious death of Christ upon the cross as the atonement for the sins of all mankind. And that substitutionary death of Christ is the third criterion by which we determine whether one is a fundamentalist or not. At least that is the definition for this century of modern-day fundamentalism. The fourth standard is that of the bodily resurrection of Christ from the dead. Fundamentalist Christians, traditional conservative Christians for 2,000 years, have believed that Christ physically and bodily came up out of the tomb 3 days after the resurrection. And finally, fundamentalists have believed all these years in the imminent return of Christ. That is, that Christ may come at any time.
That was Yale. But no matter where I go, whether speaking in an auditorium, a coliseum, a stadium, whatever, I can always count on the fact that outside, on the sidewalk, I'll have communists and Nazis and atheists and homosexuals, you name it, out there yelling and screaming and saying some very bad things about Jerry Falwell.
Jerry Falwell's no Christian. Christians don't believe in hating people and discriminating against them and turning them out.
I don't think he has the right to tell us how to live our lives. And it seems to me that's what the moral majority is trying to do.
Jerry Falwell stands against all the rights of every person that cares to do anything they should be able to do without government intervention.
If I go and follow Jerry Falwell blindly, well, you know, my folks have always taught me to think for myself.
I feel Jerry Falwell is dangerous.
He's very oppressive.
I'm here to fight neo-fascists from taking over this country. The pro-white, it's happening again. We've got to stop it now.
I think that Falwell's a Nazi and a fascist. I think that he wants autonomous rule, and I think that he's just a bigot.
I think he stands for everything despicable that I can imagine. He's anti-woman, anti-black, anti-gay.
He's helping himself. He's helping himself to cars and condominiums and all the trappings of the rich.
They're trying to destroy people. They're against people doing what they want to do, and they're full of hate.
We are angry. This man, this charlatan, is taking the deaths of our community and making his money and trying to build his political career on the bodies of gay men who are dying across the country. He has showed an absolute lack of Christian passion. He belies the whole name Christian. And we are telling him that we don't want him in Cincinnati or his sick ideas about gay life and his sick ideas about turning America into a totalitarian theocracy.
One step forward, three steps back. Keep our nation on the track. One step forward, three steps back.
Everything he said breeds hatred and bigotry. You know, what more is there to say? I feel sorry for him. He does need some type of help. I hope he gets it.
Now make those tax-deductible contributions, sisters and brothers. Send them right in. Send them right in to Brother Jerry. Let's send in those contributions. I can feel them. I can see them. I can see them coming in so that we can have more nukes. More nukes. Hallelujah. No more peace. I saw a sign here that says good news. Good news for a modern man.
Amen.
Congregation say amen.
Amen.
You know, I can honestly say that I have nothing but compassion and pity for these kids because they're really just misguided. Sometimes I go outside and try to talk with them, share the gospel with them. We sometimes invite them into the meetings and they get saved. So they just need to know Jesus. But I wanted you to see, to hear some of the things we contend with every day of my life. I remember some time ago when a critic was walking up and down the sidewalk in front of Thomas Road Baptist Church on Sunday morning. A member of an atheist society, he had literally nailed a frog, a dead frog, to a wooden cross to blaspheme our Lord and his price at Calvary for our sin debt. And then to show his contempt for Jesus, for the Bible, and for Jerry Falwell, He literally tore pages out of the Word of God. We have this kind of thing to face. There is an anti-Christian movement in this country. Pawtucket, Rhode Island. A court case. Why? Because the mayor and the city council decided to have a little manger scene on the city hall, or in the city hall. Tennessee, high school football coach, forbidden to lead his team in prayer because it violated, they said, the separation of church and state. I have to admire that coach and team, that high school team. With the stands filled, they went out in the middle of the field at the 50-yard line and knelt down before the game and said a prayer with everybody looking, saying, "No pray, no play." Kentucky, it's now illegal. The court has ruled illegal to have a copy of the Ten Commandments nailed on the walls of a public classroom. And then, this is the yearbook. I showed it to you last week, the yearbook of the Lake Worth High School in Lake Worth, Florida. And it's a typical yearbook. Last year's yearbook, 1983. It's called Trade Winds. And inside, the Bible Club there had placed an ad. And that Bible Club, called Biblia Cluba, here's a picture of it, had a full page. This is a little girl here who gave me the copy, this copy, of the book. This is a unique copy, by the way. It's one of the few copies that got out without this page being cut out with a razor blade. Notice right down here, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Someone advised the principal before they distributed the yearbook that there was a Bible Club, that's Bible Club in Spanish, Bible Club page in the yearbook with a verse of Scripture. And so he gathered all the books, cut that page out. He then learned that on the back side of that page, the Spanish Club had an ad. And so he apologized to the Spanish Club, I'm told. I think they printed that page and stuck it back in. But the Bible Club, no apology. You know, it's a crime to be a Christian in this country anymore in some places. Not Russia. I'm talking about the United States of America. And that ought to make you mad. That's one reason why I don't want to go off the air. I want to keep telling it like it is and exposing this kind of thing every time it happens in this country so that there'll never be another high school principal anywhere who'll dare to do such a dastardly thing. And I hope you'll help me stay on in 1984 to fight the battle in the year of destiny. I believe that we're facing the most crucial year in our history. You know, I told you I'd cut 35 stations from our television network, 35 of them. And I was about to cut 35 more. We laid off 200 workers, trying an austerity move to cut back on cost. And then somebody brought me a copy of this magazine. This is Hustler Magazine, last month's issue. I hesitate to let you see that front cover. It's repulsive, isn't it? It's nauseating. Nauseating. That's probably the mildest thing in the magazine, and I certainly am not going to let you see some of the pictures there, but when you open the cover, inside front cover, there's a picture of Jerry Falwell, without my knowledge, against my will, a picture of a Campari liquor bottle, and then the ad says Jerry Falwell talks about his first time, and then I won't read the words, but questions and answers. Allegedly, I'm telling about the first time I drank liquor, Campari liquor, and then the first time I had a sex experience with my mother, who, by the way, at age 82, went to heaven 5 years ago. An attack on my godly mother who's in heaven. I don't know if that make you mad or not. I'm a Christian, but I get mad once in a while. It make me mad as the blue blazes. And my dear mother, of course, down at the bottom there, it says in very small print that the average person couldn't read, "Not to be taken seriously." Larry Flint's the publisher of this magazine. I take it seriously. My three children and my wife take it seriously. My children go to school every day, face this kind of thing. The attack is on. I determine after reading that I'm not going to cut 35 more stations. As a matter of fact, by God's grace, I'm somehow going to raise the money before January 1, 84, 2 weeks from today, to pay all my accounts in full and keep on the air everywhere. There's not a home in America, theoretically, that can't receive the old-time gospel except the 35 areas where we cut stations the last few weeks. And I want to put those 35 back on the air. Will you help me do it? We can turn this nation around in 1984. We really can turn this nation around in the new year. There are thousands of other pastors and Christian ministers on television and radio. We can join forces together. We can have revival, a third great awakening.
if you'll help me, I want you to write me a letter right now. Jerry Falwell, Lynchburg, Virginia. We've established during this month, December, the Old Time Gospel Hour Survival Fund. I want you to write a check to the Old Time Gospel Hour. It's tax deductible for the largest amount you can. Please help me stay on the air. Mail it to me today. And then I want you to go to the phone and pick it up. I want you to dial me. It's a toll-free call. And tell one of my Liberty Baptist students or staff members how much you're sending. They'll tell me within 24 hours and I'll know. Now, we've only got 14 days from today and we're in 1984. I'd like to have this, if we could, by next Sunday, Christmas Day. What a wonderful birthday to the gift of the Lord Jesus, if we could. So call the toll-free number, 1-800-446-5000. Tell the student or staff member, I am sending whatever amount you can send. Somebody out there could send $10,000 or $100,000. Some of you could send $500. Many of you could send $100 or $50 or $25. I don't know what you can do, but God knows. And if you want to help me, number one, to pay off that $3 million note. It's got to be paid off immediately. We had to borrow it just to stay alive. And we still are far behind with our TV and radio station. If you'll help me by sending the largest gift you can, everybody watching me right now will do that. Well, we'll have a great, great, great victory. You see, next Sunday is Christmas Sunday. And right here on this platform, right here, we're going to have a mammoth Christmas tree. Mammoth. And we're going to have 300 singers and musicians telling the story of God's love come down to man. You'll see it right here on the Old Time Gospel Hour next Sunday where you live. But that story of Jesus, that story of his death, burial, and resurrection, his virgin birth, I want to preach next year all across America and Canada and wherever during the year of destiny for this nation. And if I do it these next few days, I've got to have a miracle. That's why the Old Time Gospel Hour Survival Fund has been established. Write to me. Jerry Falwell, Lynchburg, Virginia. If you live in Canada, need your help there too. Box 505, Richmond Hill, Ontario. The war is being waged. The battle cries on. The attacks are coming fiercely and often. And I've determined to stand up and be counted. Please stand up with me. Be counted with me. And on this Sunday before Christmas, you pick up that phone and call me and tell the operator how much you're pledging. They'll tell me within 24 hours or less, maybe within hours. And I'll know what you're doing. And then mail it to me immediately and say, Jerry, here's my part. I want you to preach Jesus and lift up the gospel. You know, the most important thing that happens in this church when I preach several times on Sunday is when I finish the gospel message, give the invitation. I look into the camera and I say, Christ died for your sins. And I share the gospel. And I ask them to pray the sinner's prayer with me, and hundreds and thousands do. Then I ask the people in this building to walk down these aisles. You've seen this familiar scene that's on the screen right now many times. People walking down the aisles, meeting our 71 pastors here, taking their hands, going to a private prayer room, having the Bible open and being led to Jesus. That's the most important thing Jerry Falwell's involved in. Mustn't cease. I mustn't be silenced. And at the same time, as a private citizen, I want to keep going out to the state capitals and to the cities and the coliseums and up to Washington. I want to go on Donahue and the news shows and every place imaginable, sharing the views and values and principles that I believe are essential to this nation's survival. And I'll travel 6,000 miles a week during 1984. I'll preach 20, 25 times a week. I'll work day and night. I'll pay the price if you'll help me do it. And I'm talking about right now. I'm talking serious business with you now. It's survival I'm talking about. Got to get our accounts current. Got to put those 35 stations back on somehow. Got to pay all our creditors. We can't go out of this year delinquent again. Please, please, please write me. Jerry Falwell, Lynchburg, Virginia. Make your check payable, your tax-deductible check payable to the Old Time Gospel Hour for as much as you can. And then, with your prayers behind me and your financial support behind me and closing out 2 weeks from today, 1983, and entering 1984, we can do it with a clean slate and move on to turn this nation around and by God's grace give the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the world in this our generation. You know, I think it's unique that God allowed me the privilege in June of 1956 to start the Thomas Road Baptist Church right here on this site, the old Donald Duck Bottling Company building, 100, 200 yards up the hill. They'd gone busted earlier. And with 35 charter members, God allowed me, a 22-year-old fresh graduate out of Baptist Bible College, Springfield, Missouri, to come here to my hometown, where I'd been born 22 years earlier, and start this congregation. And then to watch God bless through the years. It's been amazing. We started radio that very first year on a local station here in Lynchburg. We started on television on a local station here in Lynchburg. No intentions of going national. But we did. 27 years later, 27 and a half years later, there's just hardly a home in America that doesn't get our radio and television ministry. I say it's unusual, it's unique, because in 1945 we came out of World War II, the worst war this nation, any nation, had ever fought, with great losses. And America's parents, who had also gone through the Great Depression, the worst economic depression of recent current times, the parents came out saying, we will never allow our children to go through what we've gone through, to face what we've faced, to do without what we've done without. And so America's parents gave to their children in the late 40s things, money, materials, luxuries, without having to work for it, and without giving them the principles, that the moral principles that make things have meaning. And the end result, we came into the 50s, and the rock generation, the rock music generation began. The drug culture began to catch hold in this country. And young people who had lots of things but no values began to express rebellion. Rebellion. Earlier in the program, I gave you a little film presentation of the moral and spiritual decadence that set in during the 60s and the 70s. Kids began to burn their draft cards and their campuses. They rebelled against God, their country, the American flag, the church. And they began to throw off all the mores and values of their parents and grandparents. The live-in arrangement began. A 40% divorce rate developed. Homosexuality became an alternate lifestyle. Millions of kids spaced out on drugs. The result, 20 million cases of herpes because of the moral permissiveness of those days. Thousands of cases of other venereal diseases, including AIDS, which not only is incurable but fatal in every case so far. And add to that academic deterioration, young people graduating from high school unable to read and write. Our nation almost went to hell during the 60s and 70s. But somewhere along mid-70s, later 70s, God began to work. The polls began to indicate that something spiritual, phenomenal, was happening in this country. Bible-believing Christianity was bursting out of the shell. They found there were 110,000 fundamentalist churches. Fundamentalist, by the definition that I just gave at Yale a few moments ago in your hearing. Fundamentalist, committed to winning souls to Christ. And during that time, Christian media became very prevalent. There are 1,600 Christian radio stations in America today, 65 Christian television stations. There are 25,000 Christian day schools, kindergarten, elementary, high schools, like here at Lynchburg Christian Academy. And then colleges like Liberty Baptist College came into being in 1971. And in spite of the fact that the Supreme Court in 62 threw God out of public schools, and in 73 declared open game on unborn babies, which has resulted in 13 million abortions since that time, in spite of all of that, God began to work. Spiritual awakenings everywhere began to break out. And I say to you that here, 2 weeks before 1984, we are on the threshold of a third great awakening. I really believe it. I believe that 1984... can be the year in which historians will record something miraculous and spiritual and fresh and new developed in our land. As we came into the 1980s, I call this a decade of destiny. I said 4 years ago, we're either going to have revival in the 80s or ruin. We're going to lose our freedoms or have spiritual revival, one of the two. All indications are that we're beginning to turn around. Last year was the first year in 22 years that the divorce rate declined in this country. According to a Gallup poll recently taken, 41% of all of our teenagers are now reading the Bible, compared to 27% 5 years ago. And today, there is a decline in the growth of abortions in this country, the numbers. There is a repudiation by young people of the moral permissiveness that has ruined many of their lives, and kids are coming back to the traditional values of their grandparents by the millions. Who's causing that? God's people in this country, like you, who are praying, who are sharing the gospel, who are reading your Bible, who are developing and building Christian families, who are a part of Bible-believing churches, who are building Christian schools, and supporting ministries like this one. Now, what am I saying to you? As I conclude this program on this, the Sunday before Christmas, 1983, We are 2 weeks away from 1984, which I call the year of destiny, in which we'll either have revival, we'll either have a spiritual explosion, a beginning of a turnaround for God in many areas, or it may well be our last chance as a nation, and from here a toboggan slide downhill. I want my three children to grow up free and enjoy the blessings that America has brought to you and to me. I want us to have a third great awakening. I want a miracle for this country. I want a rebirth for this nation. We borrowed $3 million the other day, had to, for survival. We would have been cut off half our stations right now if we hadn't. And we had some other creditors. We just had to do it. And we're still far behind with most of our TV and radio stations. And that breaks my heart. These people are our friends. They've lived with me for 27 years. It's been a tough year. We've been under attack. Many have been trying to force us off the air. Enemies of the gospel. But my friend, we have determined we're not going to throw in the towel. We're not going to quit. Between now and 2 weeks from today, New Year's Day, by God's grace, we're going to pay our accounts in full, pay off the $3 million note. Oh, I know it sounds impossible, but nothing is too hard for the Lord. And as a birthday gift to the Lord Jesus, whose birthday we commemorate next Sunday, would you write me now, Jerry Falwell, Lynchburg, Virginia? Enclose the largest check you can for the Old Time Gospel Hour Survival Fund. I've chosen that word carefully, because if we don't pay up, we're going to lose our right to speak. We're going to be silenced. And the pornographers and the abortionists and the atheists and the secular humanists and the leftists are going to win a great victory. We mustn't surrender this nation. We mustn't give it up. We must keep on keeping on. We must stay in the battle. I am determined by the grace of God, I will not quit. I'm not going to let people like this, Larry Flint and Hustler Magazine, and people who'd cut Bible Club pages out of yearbooks, I'm not going to allow the kind of folks who do that kind of thing to silence Jerry Falwell and shut down the gospel of Christ in this country by way of the Old Time Gospel Hour. Will you give to the Old Time Gospel Hour Survival Fund? Write to me today. Make your tax-deductible check payable to Old Time Gospel Hour. And whether it's $1,000 or $10,000 or $10 or $100, you know what you're able to do. Do as much as you can, will you? Let's trust God for a miracle. Let's have a rebirth for America. Let's clear the slate between now and January 1, 2 weeks from today. And let's march into 1984, the year of destiny, with our accounts paid and ready to do the job. You know, as a private citizen representing the moral majority, 82,000 ministers in that group, I want to march out there. I really want to say what needs to be said. I think you know me well enough to know I don't compromise. I don't cut any corners. Doesn't matter whose program I'm on, I say what I believe. And I preach the gospel. You've never watched this program in which I didn't share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if I'm on somebody else's program, I share the gospel. I don't know how to spell the word compromise. And there are two words that are not in my vocabulary. Cannot and quit. I've been on my face before God praying, fasting, and asking God to speak to my friends everywhere like you, that we might have a miracle in this month of December. And there are only 2 weeks left in it. Not only am I asking you to write to me, Jerry Falwell, with your gift, but I want you to pick up the telephone right now and call me. I want you to dial, and one of the Liberty Baptist College students or one of our staff members will answer. It's a toll-free call. It's so urgent, it's so critical, that I need to know today, as soon as you know, how much you're sending. It may take 3 or 4 or 5 days for your gift to get here. But if you call me right now and tell one of our students how much you're pledging, they'll tell me within hours. I'll know. And we're praying around the clock. We're trusting God for a miracle. We are believing God that the Old Time Gospel Hour Survival Fund will be large enough to pay off that $3 million note before this year's history, and that $3 million note not only will be paid off, but our TV and radio stations and creditors will all be current as we go into 84. Make a lot of people happy, clear up our testimony, and we would establish the fact that we're not going to be silenced by the pornographers or any others. I'm looking for your letter. I'm looking for your phone call. If you live in Canada, and we need your help there as well, just write to Box 505, Richmond Hill, Ontario, and say, Jerry, here's my part. Now, let me just summarize. We last week had a program entitled, Who is on the Lord's Side? 2 weeks ago, I opened the program from my little radio studio in the basement of my home where I do my praying and studying and tape recording for the Old Time Gospel Hour radio broadcast. I opened with those verses in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, where Jesus prophesied the building of his church. He said, upon this rock, speaking of himself, the solid rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you believe that promise? The gates of hell shall not prevail against his church? I do. And that's why in these next 2 weeks, I'm believing God for what must be a miracle, a divine provision, that we pay our accounts in full. Next Sunday, when you tune in the Old Time Gospel Hour, you'll be looking at a mammoth Christmas tree right here in the front of the sanctuary, 300 singers, and a full 1 hour of sharing the Christmas message. That's next Sunday when you tune in right here. And I hope by then I'll have a good word for you. But that means you've got to write me, Jerry Falwell, Lynchburg, Virginia, and make as generous, as liberal a gift as you can to the Old Time Gospel Hour Survival Fund and mail it as quickly as you can. And one more thing, call me on the toll-free number right now and say, Jerry, here's what I'm sending. Here's my gift. Here's what I'm going to... And one of our students or staff members will tell me within hours. And then right here in Lynchburg, Virginia, we'll be, as we pray and trust God and seek the face of God, we will be looking to our precious Lord for those who will be on the Lord's side, who will stand up and be counted, and who will claim the promise, the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. My friend, I'm not giving up. I'm not throwing in the towel. Please, don't you throw in the towel. Let's make this the greatest birthday celebration for our Lord ever here at the Old Time Gospel Hour. Write to me, Jerry Falwell, Lynchburg, Virginia. Let's be a part of a miracle.